The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For Fiat Professional, every worker needs a good wing van. Whether the spacious Fiat Doblo or the powerful Fiat Ducato, Fiat Professional is your right-hand van. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's Chicken Big Mac,
Triple M rocks footy.
Tex Walker has kicked three, the captain, and they're getting away from the Bulldogs now. Josh Jenkins got rid of his opponent, took the mark. Four goals to Josh Jenkins.
It has been a complete and clinical dismantling of the Dogs. And where do the Dogs go from here?
Dowhouse around the corner. Finally, their first goal in the second half comes at the 17-minute mark of the final term.
Charlie Cameron's got one. And the margin back to 59.
And there it is, Adelaide. Big, big winners here tonight at the Oval.
The defending champion, the Premier, they are so far off the pace, it's hard to fathom.
We gutted four away so poorly. Is not good enough. It was too disappointing.
Oh, by gee, 11 goals to one after half time. The Bulldogs, what does that do to their season? The Adelaide Crows going very, very nicely. Hello and welcome to the Saturday Rub. Big game coming here today at the MCG. Collingwood taking on Essendon. The loser, well, they could be shot for finals times. Massive 2010-minute preview coming your way. Guests, Josh Jenkins to join us shortly from the Adelaide Crows. 20 past one, Darcy Moore from the Pies. 1:35, Mark Harvey from the Essendon Football Club. A lot to get through today, including the vault. Past 12. Need to listen.
Don't think so.
I think so, Brian. Not. It is to a whole nother level and closer to one. Duck, Brian and Nath are bringing a story to the table, something you don't know. Well, it's an amazing story. You do not want to miss that. I look around here. Nathan Brown's here. Wayne Carey's here. Damien Barrett's here. Brian Taylor's here. The first time I've had the pleasure of doing the Saturday Rub. And from the meeting at 11:30, Brian, this is not exactly a warm, positive or embracing environment. I've soon come to realise that.
Well, the vault's been withdrawn.
No, it hasn't, Brian. It's listed in the rundown.
We'll see. There's some legal action.
Why? What's the legal action take the form
of? I'm expecting it to happen before today's possibility.
What's your problem with it? It's helped your brand.
That's all I want to say.
Very good for your brand.
Your brand has just gone.
You're turning into Spud.
Anyway, Branny.
saying you can't do things, you're hurting my brand. Sounds like Spud.
I haven't mentioned my brand, but I tell you whose brand is damaged. Mm. Western Bulldogs last night. We're going to talk about them, as you said, very, very shortly. But Adelaide, 11 wins, they're on the road. Do you fancy them, Brownie?
I fancy anyone in the top eight who can make it at the moment. They're a very good side, Adelaide, but they're going to have to win over here. They'll get two home finals. It all revolves around their forward end, whether they can kick the goals in the big games. I thought Tex and Josh Jenkins were going to speak to are really good, but in other games they haven't been able to do that.
Did they convince you, though, Duck, that the bit of nasty aggression was a thing that's going to stay with them, or are they going to play nice, clean, tidy, pleasant football?
There wasn't a lot of aggression in that game last night, but they controlled the air last night, BT. We saw the rain came down before the game and during the game, Brownie, and you think generally big guys don't have an impact, but, you know, the levers down back, and obviously Tex Walker was back to his absolute best. And the man we're about to have a chat to shortly, Josh Jenkins, he is becoming a real – for the last 2 weeks, he has been very, very good. Very good last week. I think he had 12 tackles. But his marking of the footy, he's coming up to the ball carrier, using his body really well, and he's always been able to hit the scoreboard, but he's doing it in a different manner now, BT. So
you mean not getting it over the back.
That's right. They look dangerous, BT, but I still think, and I got asked this question last night, I think it had more to do with the Bulldogs' performance than it did the Crows being so good. I think the Bulldogs are as poor as any team in the competition right now. They've won one game by 1 point in the last 5 weeks, Browning.
Against North Melbourne, who's sitting
17th on the ladder. So their form isn't great. So the Crows did to the Bulldogs what they probably should have done to them.
It's almost like the Dogs need to be able to reinvent themselves again, which they haven't been able to do. Their great strength last year was their half-back rebound, which had Suckling, Johannesson playing great footy. Murphy was there to start with. And also Easton Wood, who hasn't been able to mark the ball. I reckon it's their greatest weakness at the moment. And Luke Beveridge hasn't been able to turn that around.
Duck, you were mentioning Josh Jenkins, the star from the Adelaide Football Club, joins us on the line now from Adelaide. G'day, Josh. Congratulations on the win.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, fellas. Hope you're all well.
Hey, Josh, Duck here, mate. I want to ask you, and this is, we hear you know, whispers all the time in circles. Is it true? A couple of weeks ago, the coach Pikey, and I don't know whether any of the assistants, but came to you and said, "You know what? We need you to play a little bit differently to how you've been playing." Is there any truth in that?
It wasn't so much. It certainly wasn't a couple of weeks ago. I think it was a point when you know, I had the rib injury, came back, and probably was not playing and competing to the level that the coaches, all my teammates wanted. And that's the one thing, as you guys would know, if you're not earning that trust and respect from your teammates, something's got to change. So I sort of went about it more so as an individual and thought to myself, what do I need to do to improve and to get that trust back? And actually a wet game similar to last night against Fremantle about 6 weeks ago was the catalyst for that, because it just simplified the game and made me compete and made me you know, win some contests for the team. And that was probably the starting point for you know, the past 6 weeks, which I feel like have been really good.
Well, I want to say, mate, I know you kicked the 4 goals last night, but and I know you've kicked bigger bags, but I reckon your last 2 weeks are the best games I've ever seen you play. The fact that you've come up to the footy, your aggression, your use of the body, I think you've been fantastic. So yeah, keep going along in that vein, and I think the Crows can be very, very successful come September.
All right, let's stop patting each other on the back here with the old...
Well, Tay, hey, you know what? Sometimes we give constructive criticism in this job. So when someone's doing something well, how about we give them a pat on the back, BT?
Don't sound off at me. By the way, that back line of yours, Jenko, is just going along beautifully at the moment. Now, Jake Kelly.
Oh, Jake Kelly. I thought he was going to say Jake Lee.
Jake Kelly. Now, this guy has just been getting better and better and better. Look, took his opponent to the cleaners last night. Not that he was in great form, but gee, he's been impressive, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He's just willed himself thus far. He's just worked himself, you know, tirelessly to get to where he is. And, you know, look, he's 30 or so, 25 or 30 games in now, and he's starting to show, and particularly last night, that he's got some offensive stuff to his game as well, some intercept marks. He's taking a leaf out of your boy Jake Lever's book, and he's the hardest worker we've got at the club, and you know, he just continues to fight and scrap, and that's his weapon. He just wants to be great, and he just continues to work hard, and that's why he improves.
He's the sort of guy that weighs his food. That gives you a fair insight into it.
Yeah, that's his style. Yeah, he used to live with Paddy Dangerfield, and Danger's parting words to him was chill out a little bit, because he's very highly strung. But look, it gets the best out of him. Some people operate like that. You know, some people feel like they need to do all those kinds of things to get the best out of themselves, and that's how he rolls, and it works for him.
So who's he living with now? I'm tipping not too many blokes would be lining up.
he actually cops a fair bit of grief, little Jake, because he's fifth year at the club, and he's still got a host father. he still rolls in, still lives with the mum and dad like first year draftees do. So yeah, he's an interesting character, Jake.
Hey, Josh, you just touched on there a moment ago, Brian's man, Jake Lever, just with his contractual situation and given what you went through in that same space very recently and the worldly view that you adopt to how you tackled it, have you spoken to him with what he's going through with the scrutiny and the constant questioning?
Yeah, not so much. I've certainly had some discussions with Mitch McGovern, who I'll probably work a lot closer with on field anyway. You know, I just have a view that each player's entitled to handle whoever they choose, and you know, you're only in this game for so long, and that's not you know, saying that, that's not me saying that you should try and eke out every dollar you can, but you've got to weigh up. There's no need to rush into a decision. There's no need to bow to public pressure or anything like that. If Jake and Mitch aren't ready to sign contracts, they aren't ready, and they've got until, you know, October to do so. So. You know, the speculation's fair because they're both really good players, and there's a lot of guys who are scrapping just to get another contract. So those guys are in great positions, and I think they should, you know, take their time and do what they think's best for themselves.
We're speaking with Josh Jenkins, one of the best of field in the Crows win against the Bulldogs last night. Josh, just to delve a little bit deeper into the questioning that Duck had of you a few moments ago about the role you're playing. The role last year, it was critiqued. Everything in footy is critiqued to within an inch of its life. But the over-the-back sort of, observations of your style of play, were you aware of that? And did it hurt you, given that you were obviously doing the role that your club wanted? Was it an issue for you?
It wasn't an issue because, I mean, last year it was happening frequently, so you're kicking plenty of goals, so you can't be too upset. But I guess the only thing that was frustrating was the fact that, I guess it was almost commented upon as if I'm just standing there in the goal square waiting for the ball to come to me. And, you know, often, well, as you guys see, you know, when you're commentating games, players are up the ground. No one's ever really more than 70 metres from the ball. So, you know, all us forwards at our club that get those goals over the back, it's because we work or running extremely hard to get back there. And yes, they're easy goals, but that's because we put in the work early and get in that position. And also we get really good supply from up the field. So look, at the end of the day, Damo, if you're getting criticised for kicking too many easy goals, then I guess you're doing something right.
Now, Josh, our resident NBA expert, Joe Ingles, what was it, $30 million the other day he signed for?
I think it was a fair bit more north than that, Brian. I think it was around $50 million US. So that's what's at about 60 or 70 million Australian. So,
and Haywood's left Jazz. So would that mean that Joe Ingles becomes the main point guard there?
Yeah, he may well. He perhaps Mitch and Jake Lever can take a leave. Perhaps Joe should have waited for Gordon to leave before he signed his contract, because he'd be the main man in Utah now. But it's a great effort because Joe bounced around Europe for a long time before getting his chance, and you know, now he sets his family up and probably his grandchildren up for life. So yeah, it's great to see him get that big deal. And I know Aaron Baines is now looking for he's a free agent as well. Another Australian is looking for a big contract.
Josh, your perspective on footy places you outside, I reckon, the norm. What did you make, and I know Mark Howard spoke to you during the week partially about this issue, of Luke Beveridge's comments and observations about the media's role and its assessments and opinions on individuals, and it was in relation to the Tom Boyd situation?
Yeah, look, I certainly heard what Luke Beveridge said, and I can't speak exactly for their club, but I can speak for our club and speak pretty generally. I actually think that the clubs play a much greater role in how players cope and how players feel than the media. There are a lot of players who don't take a lot of media in and just play footy and play video games and hang out and don't actually know a lot about what's going on. So I think the clubs play a bigger role. You know, there's more coaches than ever. As you said, the game gets analysed within an inch of its life, and sometimes, more often than not, we're always looking for the negatives and the RFIs and how we can improve, and that plays on players' minds. And take the Bulldogs for example. It's going to be a pretty long weekend for those boys, and they're going to be feeling pretty ordinary and probably have a fair bit of anxiety about what they might see, come game review on Monday, and all those things can be a little bit hard for the public to understand. But I can assure you, having been in that position, it's not a great way to spend your weekend and not a great way to live your life sometimes.
Joshy, we appreciate your time and your thoughts. Congratulations to you and the Adelaide Crows.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Josh Jenkins from the Adelaide Football Club.
It's good to speak to someone who's got those views, isn't it?
He is very intelligent, isn't he?
Yeah.
He is very accomplished.
Just gets it.
He does.
Did it well.
Very good.
We have a tweet come through from Stuart. This is around BT, what we talk about off the top. BT surely needs new lawyers. Threatens legal action every week, but his legal team failed to deliver, which we are very grateful for.
They are within minutes of delivering today, I can assure you.
Sounds like
you're
needing...
And by the way, we should also tweet out...
The streets from Stuart Sewers.
Or Instagram out a photo of Damo's head, because if that hasn't been blackened substantially, if he hasn't got the boot polish out, Damo,
I can see where he's going, Damo. On my kids' lives,
mate, they've never, ever, and never will.
Your
never,
skull
ever.
Is also stained, where there is no hair.
It is a bit dark. BT, I'm going to go with you on this.
Damo. Oh, please, Brent.
This is the pot.
You had a little bit more extra work done.
on my kids' lives just so we can end this right now.
That doesn't mean much, though, mate.
When you start, yes, it does, Brownie.
When you start to get the golden tinge on the end of the hairs, you know you've been doing it too long.
Yep. Have you got some experience in this department, Brian?
I have. I have.
You're always trying to review, you know, what you've done, and ultimately, you know, you try and turn the metaphor around, and you know, everyone's been talking about us being the hunted, but you got to try and work that to your advantage, and we haven't been able to. And I don't really want to talk about it too much because we can't make excuses. We're in a game where we've got a group of young men who need to work together, and we need to provide them with some spark emotionally. And yeah, there's still plenty of the year left for them to find a way, or to find a better way anyway.
The year is ticking over quickly, though, for the reigning premiers. They have now had 7 wins and 8 losses after going down to the Adelaide Crows last night after the Crows kicked 11 goals to 1 in the second half. Mark, how are with you, Brian Taylor, Nathan Brown, Wayne Carey and Damien Barrett on the Saturday rub?
We're going to need 5 of the last 7 games. We're going to have 5 wins out of the last 7 games to just make the 8, the Western Bulldogs. It's going to be tough for them. For me, Brownie, I looked at their players very, very closely. Went through the whole list and trying to think, what's wrong with this group? And so then I went through each one of them individually and I thought, right, who has had a better year this year than last year? Duck and I did this yesterday as well, and we could only find 4 ticks. Bailey Dale, Redpath, Wallace, and maybe Caleb Daniel that have improved as footballers. The rest have gone backwards. So of the squad of 25 that went last night, 16 of them have played in the VFL this year, which is not a good sign. If you've got 16 of 25... of your squad of 25 playing in the VFL.
McLean's game last night, BT, does that elevate his standing in that list? Maybe,
game doesn't. I'm talking about better seasons.
Yep.
I think you need to have 10 or 12 players as a minimum have career best years to win a premiership. They probably had 15 or 16 had those sort of years last year.
And the timing was good last year coming into the finals and they all rose as one. I'd take Caleb Daniel out of that. I agree with the other three, but I think he's probably plateaued
a
little bit. I think clubs have gone to work on the Western Bulldogs and figured them out as well. And they've obviously, we've seen it since the Sydney game. Where
in what way?
They went to Johannesen. So they realised, and all the talk during that week was how good the Dogs were off half back. They got Murphy back now. Johannesen's playing great footy. To that point of the year, Johannesen had a better year than what he did last year, up until that point, that Sydney game. Sydney figured out, and Sydney showed everybody how you do it, because Easton Wood, since that night, hasn't been able to impact in the air. He hasn't been the player he was last year, or the first, say, 6 or 7 rounds. Suckling hasn't been the same player. He got dropped, obviously, for the grand final. But Murphy hasn't had the influence that he normally has. So that springboard of half-back is now their greatest Achilles heel.
It's been wiped out, hasn't it?
Luke Beveridge needs to figure out a way to get that working again, because clubs have gone to town on them. And he hasn't moved Johannesen. I'd love to see him out of the goal square. I'd love to see him all over the place. So it breaks up the tagger. So it breaks up what they want to do. Then it puts the decision on the opposition coach. Okay, what am I going to do now? Jason Johannesen's coming out of the goal square. He's got electric pace. He's got nobody else around. It might only be 5 minutes, but it breaks it up. And I just don't think Luke Beveridge has done that at the moment.
They're at him again last night, Duck, Johannesen. They're at him. You've been very strong in your views this week about how Johannesen needs to stand and deliver a little bit more. Were you happy or not with what he delivered last night?
Oh, look, it was hard. It was a hard game to get a gauge on. He did some really good things, but at what I thought, he didn't have the really strong conviction. When he went to Eddie Betts, it wasn't, he didn't really, you know, just go to him and say,
It's not his nature either.
No, and it's not in his nature, exactly right. But I thought his attack on the footy was better than it's been in the last 3 weeks, and he got a little bit more of the ball. So I thought it was an improvement. But just on everything that you guys just said, I agree with all of it. But this has just been, for me, they are as flat as pancakes at the minute in terms of their confidence. Now, in the last year and a half, or more than a year and a half now, under Beveridge, they have always, whether they've been beaten or not, you just see them, Brownie. They've had a belief.
Compete.
They've lost that belief. They've lost all of their confidence, and it's just been a trickle effect. The start of the year, BT, they were playing bad halves, good halves, bad quarter, good quarter, and pinching wins here and there, Brownie. All of a sudden now they've lost those games, and now the confidence has gone completely. They no longer believe that they can win, even though they had a good first half. and they fought their way back into it in the second quarter, late in the second quarter, they don't have the confidence anymore that they can actually beat teams and score against teams anymore.
BT, the Johannesson demise is symbolic of this season. Those four out of five games you referred to a moment ago, it started against Johannesson with what John Longmire did with Hewitt in that game outside the bye. Melbourne did it with Melksham. North did it a little bit, but not the way others have done it. We saw what Mark Hutchings did last week. And then, as you said last night, and Scott Camporeale, didn't he, how he pre-match told us that they were going to go with it. And they didn't do it as hard as what West Coast did, but I do know that the teammates, and Brownie, you referred to Easton Wood, he's clearly been most affected by it. He even in one of the games in question, tried to rough up opponents. That's not his natural style. No. His intercept marking's not working. They're being required to cover for him, BT, and again, there's bigger issues in their eyes than what's going on with Jason Johannesson, but it is an issue in a season where it's falling apart for them, trying to cover for him, and they're not entirely happy with how he's dealt with it himself either. They feel that he's not doing enough to work his way through it.
And the same game, you've got to give credit to John Longmire. That was the game that ignited their season as well. That was where they came out, they were aggressive, and since then they haven't looked back. It's been like one side's gone up and one side's gone a long way down. And the coaching, everybody talks about how good Luke Beveridge was last year, and he was, but now he needs to reinvent this side for the last part of the year because he's got a big battle on his hands if they want to make finals.
So this is a side that has won one game in the last 5 weeks by 1 point against the out-of-form and young North Melbourne side. It is this era, Damo, is it possibly coming to an end before it started for the Western Bulldogs?
Well, how can it happen? Luke Beveridge to reinvent. And Brownie, you know, we're talking pre-show, weren't we? He obviously had a game plan last year that caught people by surprise. And it was genius, wasn't it, the way he got them on the roll. He regrouped before the final they played against West Coast in Perth and got them going, and no one could match it.
Have things changed internally for them? I know that all the coaches, and this is one thing that I heard, all of the coaches have got different portfolios this year.
Yes, they have.
Now, a lot of people would say that's great because they get the chance to do coach in different areas. But also, if you're an expert in one area, why not stick to it? Have there been other things internally that have changed down there?
Not specifically that I think relates to what's going on. I think, and I don't try and venture into this space too much, BT, but from what I'm hearing from clubs, it is the same, or the same, I suppose, essential game plan to last year. But you need to move on, don't you?
Well, here's another thing. You know, we're all lauding the quick hands last year. There's no sign of the quick hands this year. How can that be? That's not a thing that other clubs can conquer so much.
No, it's not.
So how can that all of a sudden dissipate? Where's it gone?
Yeah, it has gone. But they won clearances last night. They won contested footy last night as well. And actually, in fact, they won those two areas really convincingly. So, look, for me, they lack forwards. Their big men, all of their big men haven't stood. Redpath is their best big man in their team at the moment, and he's coming off a knee injury.
Cloak and Boyd out.
Clearly, Stringer's struggling. Stringer's the third or fourth sort of forward that you've got to have.
Dixon and Smith.
In your forward line. Dixon and Smith. Cramery's not there. All of a sudden, their inability to score, BT. I mean, they just, you know, guys don't come forward to the footy. Redpath's the only one that wants to come forward to the footy in their forward line. So they look up, they're confused. And like I said, you talk about their problems and internally, their problems are above their shoulders. That is it. They are just, and Pago used to say, this might be a long way out. I don't think they're in a position right now to turn this around quickly. I can't see them next week coming out and playing a blinder. They are really, really affected here. This is going to be a burn, and because of that, they're not playing finals footy this year. I reckon the Dogs are done.
No hope.
Dogs are
done.
That's it. I just can't see them. And now the one thing that Luke Beveridge said last night, if he can do this, then I reckon it's just about a miracle, because they've got a longer break. So they played last night. They don't play until tomorrow week. So that's a long week. It's a big build up. Now, he has to go to work on what and how they're thinking and try to put some confidence back in this group.
Their draw's not hopeless, though.
It's not bad,
it's a good draw. No, yeah. Hang on. Is there such thing as an easy draw in today's
football? No, there's not.
But I'm interested in what you've just said
about writing them off. And you don't make these statements lightly. You've seen something in the past 4 weeks.
I've not questioned the Bulldogs once under Luke Beveridge. And even when I saw them have losses last year against Geelong, they were so dour. It was the game that Libba got injured in. I walked away from that game saying, They lost this game, and Geelong probably would have won anyway. But this side, you just respect. They're just so good. I just think right now their confidence is so low that it's going to take more than a week for it to build up. And I can't see them getting that back enough to play finals footy this year.
Brian, up next, it is the vault. And I must say, I don't like to bring these things up. I've got tremendous respect for you. But we're wedged in pretty close here, you and me, at the moment. You're a physical presence. You're going to have to do your fly up, Brian, because I'm not feeling comfortable sitting here in a tight environment with you, Brian, with your fly all the way down, Brian.
I have just been handed a letter from an express deliverer out the back here.
Yep.
Damo, you read that during the break and get a good handle on it, mate.
Well, there might be something coming back your way, BT, but I will read it, yes.
Can you do your fly up now, Brian? Thank you.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm ungettable.
When he's on the clock, Parko, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best. This
is about me.
Is Bristol's Vault.
No, there's no vault today, Howie. Damo, I've handed you the letter. You've read it.
I have. It's a very standard legal letter.
That is from Goldsmith Lawyers, and that's where it stands.
Yeah, and I'm actually prepared to concede, and I'm quite serious when I say this, that your legal letter is fine, but it refers to what could happen in the future.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to block.
And that's what you're injuncting. And I get that. But why my legal training under the auspices of being a journalist, BT, tell me that you can't injunct something that has already gone to air?
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
No. Where does it say that?
No, I just know that to be the legal case. And as such, we have got this put together to just remind people of what we've already heard in the vault, and we'll deal with the future beyond this. But this is the past, and you do need new lawyers.
Our main man, Brian Taylor,
I'm turning myself off.
Goes one-on-one with former world heavyweight champion George Foreman.
Coming up in 5 seconds, we have George Foreman. One, two, three, four. Joining me now on The Good Sports is one of the greatest boxers of all time, the punching preacher himself, George Foreman. Good morning to you, George.
Good morning to you.
Since back in 1973 when you won the title, and now...
Can I stop you for one moment? It may be an important call. Hold on one second.
Okay, sure. We'll hang on for George there. I was just going to ask George... George, you're back? Since you held the title back in 73, and you look at today's...
Hold on.
Okay. George there's going to answer the phone again. He's obviously is a very good secretary as well. Hope he gets paid well for that. Got a nice warm coffee here anyway to keep us going. Yeah, so back with George now. Okay, George Foreman, we know you're a very busy man. We do appreciate your time and best of luck with your future.
All the best, and thank you.
No!
Look, I didn't hear any of that. No, I'm not happy about it. I tell you what, it could be some copyright issues or something.
He's just stopped the interview to take a call.
Twice. It could be important, he said.
Half the interview, you were talking to yourself.
First of all, thank God I got a nice warm coffee.
Can't do this.
This time, Damo, he catches up with five-time Olympic gold medalist and the first ever gymnast to record a perfect 10 in the Olympic Games 1976 in Montreal. I speak of the great Nadia Comăneci.
5 seconds, Nadia Comăneci. One, two, three, four. Well, our next guest burst onto the scene way back in 1976, and she really captured the world's imagination and won many hearts around the world with her fantastic performance in the world of gymnastics in the 1976 Montreal Olympic Games. I speak of probably the greatest gymnast of all time, Nadia Comăneci. Good morning to you, Nadia.
Hello.
Sorry, Nadia.
Yes.
Was it true that in your first international competition that you failed badly?
First international competition?
Yeah, before 1976 Montreal Games, in one of your big competitions that you only, I think, scored 7.25 on the beam. Was that true?
Yeah, this was when I had 9 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was...
Did you feel like giving up then or not?
Why? I didn't start gymnastics for win medals.
Mm. We know you're very busy, and best of luck with whatever you do. And you really have been one of the greatest athletes and certainly the greatest gymnast of all time. Thank you, Nadia Comaneci.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I hope to see you in Australia when I will be there, OK? Oh,
yeah. Thank you very much, Nadia.
With pleasure.
Seriously.
Oh, no. Now, listen. There'll be no more of this.
Yeah, Damo.
That's better.
Two takeouts for me. Yeah. Firstly, the pronunciation of his surname, Nadia Comaneci.
That's what it was.
And then he talks about how she had a disappointing meet prior to the Olympics. She said, I was only nine. And then Bristol said, did you think about giving up?
And then
9 years of age.
And then she said no. And he goes,
What we've got now is we've got the medley of songs because, Brian, the vault has taken off. Mm-hmm. Like, it's global. And especially one part of the vault that people have focused on, which is your ability, just when things are getting a little sort of quiet in the interview, to just drop in a little,
Yeah.
Enjoy the medley. Here it is.
Greater 3UZ Good Sports. Greater 3UZ Good Sports.
One, Brian.
No, it was one, two, three. Instead of three, two, one.
What about the count-in? No wonder old George Foreman kept putting you on hold.
Mrs. T at the clearing sale, when she bundled the tapes into a box and just auctioned them off, it's the fatal mistake she's made. She may well not be there when I get home.
Now, the good news too, BT, is that we're confident now via our Triple M lawyers that we will be able to continue bringing our listeners the vault, because we have counteracted your legal threats, which were real for a moment there, but we have counteracted it. And Howie, what we have noticed during this, and Dark and Brown, you know this, a lot of the time calls in these vaults are... good morning. Welcome back to 3UZ. It's 19 minutes to 6. It goes on before 6 a.m. What you'll find next week, BT, and we have got full confidence we can run this, you have woken the chief, Jason Dunstan, up at 6 a.m. in next week's vault, and the chief, who's not a happy person at the best of times, is particularly unhappy being woken up by you at such a time on the morning of a game.
I can tell you one thing. I used to live in Hawthorne, and the studios were in Carlton to the... Greater 3UZ, and we were starting at 5:30 in the morning. This is a true story, and I woke up at about 5:28. So from Hawthorne to Carlton,
you still would have made it, nonetheless. You
get
drive.
Changed and get dressed. Anyway, I didn't make it. I got about halfway there. I rung the studio and I said to the newsman, "I said, listen, I'll be a few minutes late. Can you whack on Hey Jude? Because I knew Jude went for 10 minutes, and that would give me another 10 minutes. The amount of times we played Hey Jude as I was coming down Victoria Street.
Was it the same producer who told you last week on air we played it, read that?
Yes. How's it being received, Brian? You're a very respected figure in the football we are. People approaching you, talking to you about it?
I have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. You look at you. You're just sitting there saying,
Howie,
this is all about him. Look at him.
All of my country mates that all live in Melbourne now, they would all be tuned in right now. It is a must listen for them every Saturday. They'll be disappointed that we just got replays. But
no, they wouldn't.
Let everyone know that there will be a new
How do your work colleagues take it? Say when you get to Friday night footy and you've got to stand next to Bruce, who's very straight down the line, or Basil,
one good
very
thing
straight
about
down
Bruce.
The line, Basil as well. Do they? How do they take
one
your
good
shenanigans?
Thing about Bruce is that he lives in Adelaide, and so he doesn't hear a lot.
Adelaide gets our coverage.
No, it wasn't. But he's not a non-media person, Bruce. Right. So he rolls up, and it's been good able to talk to Bruce because he doesn't know what he's very, what's happened.
Bruce is the best man in the media, and he is very bemused at the middle about if he ever heard this, I reckon he might retire because he's very bemused about Roaming Brian. He can't believe the fanfare that
and his great love is the Olympics.
Yes. Bemused about Roaming Brian over the night.
If he heard BT's interview with Carl Lewis, which wasn't in that little snippet that we had there, he would just about disown BT for that interview alone.
And Larry Burrell?
Yeah, told Carl Lewis that he was going to make him big here in Australia. Because 3UZ went all around Australia.
What about when he was criticising?
Have a look at his head growing at the moment.
What about when you're criticising Nadia Comaneci when she's nine years of age?
Look, I've got no further comment. I'm backing out of this because Brownie's right. This shouldn't be about me. I don't want it to be about me. That's why I've encouraged legal action to stop the tapes.
What return you get for the package of tapes that someone bought at the garage sale?
I heard $15 because some guy wanted to use the reels, not the tape.
Brilliant investment. Damien, you made some comments on the footy show on Thursday night about Dustin Martin, his ongoing contract with the Richmond Football Club, how Ralph Carr, his manager, was involved, and there was a little bit of blowback, a little bit of angst from the last contract negotiations. This was on the footy show on Thursday night. SEN Friday, Neil Baum from the Richmond Football Club gets on for his normal spot. And Brian, it's fair to say he had a decent crack at our man.
All he does is, it's just one more cross against his name, isn't it? Doesn't he talk some crap? Don't you reckon?
Well, he was saying that Ralph
But unfortunately, that's what
you
have to do.
He's reporting what he knows.
He's reporting what he thinks he wants to know. Like, he making half that crap up.
He
might have been
difficult.
Told some of that.
No, I shouldn't. I know what he has to do. They have to say something to make themselves meaningful, and I get it. But it's just horrible. It's meaningless rubbish.
There's a good spray, BT.
Unloading on purple.
Mm. Now, as we said last night, BT, when Neil Baum knows he's got to do media, he uses his own device of the liar meter and blows into us, and he makes sure it hovers around the 0.05 mark when he knows he's got to do media. Now, he does. He's very economical with the truth, BT, when it comes to media, because this goes back to 2015 when he made comments about something we did on the footy show the previous night too, with Adam Treloar choosing Collingwood over Richmond to go to the Pies after his career was going to end that season at GWS. And we just made that point on the footy show, and Barmy denied that very strongly the next day.
On the footy show last night, Damien Barrett, he said Adam Treloar, Collingwood's making him an offer of $750,000.
I can guarantee that's not true. There you are. Okay, is that what you want me to say?
Well, that's the answer, Steve. Not true.
So I just raised that, BT, because that's what Barmy does.
Oh, you've had to go back a long way to find
2 years.
One.
The last time he had a crack at me was 2 years ago, and that one was 100% right. And as I reported the other night, without making a big song and dance about it, by the way, part of the Dustin Martin story is the protracted nature of it. You can trace it back, because Ralph Carr's got a very long memory, to 2013 when Richmond pulled the initial offer they had to Dustin Martin after other clubs got cold feet about him. We acknowledged again in that initial report that in 2015 he did re-sign, knowing that he'd be a free agent in 2017.
Where is it right now?
Well, it's now exactly where it was at the start of the year when Ralph Carr, and I think he was quite open about it, so was Dustin himself, saying that it's going to play out till the last game, whether that's round 23, whether that's a grand final. But
surely the
Neil Baum wasn't there in 2003.
Surely the interested parties, that is Richmond and a club, if he were to leave, are going to need to know Brownie before a grand final or finals, simply for list management strategy.
You would have thought so, but I can't see how.
Dusty Martin and Ralph Carr don't give a stuff about that. They're worried about what they're doing. They're not worried about list management and all that sort of BT. So take that
off. Shouldn't they be?
Why should they?
Well, if he's going to stick at the footy club.
Isn't it courtesy to let Richmond know?
Well, there might be a little story in that. Generally, if players don't let you know by then
I'd be very surprised if he's out of the door because of where Richmond are. At the start of the year or last year or 2015 when he wanted to leave because other clubs had bigger offers. He wasn't getting the cash he wanted and he wanted to go and play at a club that was having success because he felt that the pressure on him at Richmond was quite big and he felt like he's shouldering the load. Now, with the club going so well, him playing so well, he could be a Brownlow medalist in 3 months' time. Very, very hard to leave when I'd imagine Richmond's offer is only going to be 200 less than maybe what the other offer is. So it's going to be a bigger move now than what it would have been 8 weeks ago.
I thought he was going to leave at the start of the year. I now think he'd be crazy to leave Richmond. Given what they've gone through, given the supporters, given everything that the club's given to him, he'd be crazy for the sake, because he'll get paid over $1 million. It's just a difference between $1.1 million to $1.3 million, something like that.
Now, Harry,
yes,
tell me something I don't know. This is the segment we're doing now.
I love it. Yep.
And Duck and I happened to bump into an in progress meeting.
Oh.
Last night, after our duties with the 7 Network, we went back to the Intercontinental Hotel, and in the
very nice
in the cigar bar there, we happened to walk in on what seemed to be a very happy, loving, giving, close relationship.
Friendship.
It seemed to be extremely close. the way I was viewing it, Duck, I don't know about you.
Well, I didn't see it to be that close, but I there was a lot of love in the air.
We saw two people.
Yes.
One plays for he plays for a footy team over there.
Yes.
Adelaide.
Did he play last night?
His name's Jake Lever. Okay. No, we didn't see him.
No, we didn't see him.
We saw his dad, L.
Yes.
So Jake's dad, Al, he was there, and almost hand in hand, arm in arm.
Explain how it came about. You obviously know his dad, and you.
Yeah, I know his dad.
I was with you, and we were walking over
to the Intercontinental.
And you were walking over to say g'day, and you were about to introduce myself, and you saw Jace McCartney standing there, and you were about to introduce Jace to his father.
And what's Jace do?
And we realised that they already knew one another.
Oh, so really? Jace McCartney,
list manager.
The list manager at the Dogs, talking to Al. And you met Al before, Jace? Oh, boy.
Oh,
I've been on trips with Al. And it was a real love-off. And
there's no connection between those two people other than Jason McCartney being the
recruiter
of the Bulldogs? There is
a long-lost connection. A trip AIS used to go to Europe each year, the under-18 kids.
Right.
And Jason did go 1 year and Al went, so that's where they first met.
Well, they might know one another.
That could be it.
It could be it.
It couldn't be anything
else. It couldn't be anything else.
You raise Jake Lever on a weekly basis in the Saturday Rub BT for at least the past 12 weeks.
Well,
please tell me and our listeners what it is you actually do know, because
I'm in the media.
You're dancing around it.
And the media also raise it almost on a daily basis. So
on the back of you raising it.
I guess it's my job to probably comment about it.
You think he's leaving, don't you?
I've got no idea.
It's
not about me. This is about the meeting of those two people last night.
I'll tell you what I will say, and BT, and there's been a lot of talk about the figure that he should be paid. Watching him last night, he's worth every cent. He's worth every cent.
What's every cent?
The figure's been, 750, 800? Well, he's worth that plus some. He's a young kid that can mark the footy and play small, play tall, does it all.
I'm told the offer at Adelaide is minus quite a bit on that. But listen, something else I've got. Tell me something I don't know. Now, this is, we've just got to be a little careful here.
I'm not sure you should be going with this, Brian,
this
to be honest.
Is something that Duck
I don't think you should go with this.
We all know that when you get on your computer, Brownie, on the Apple Mac, you can upsize the font. You can go from size 10 font to a 14, or if you really want to bust out, you can go to a 32.
Brian.
Well, if you get a tattoo on your arm and you've got big arms, you get big font.
Font it up. We've heard of an upsizing of font beyond belief.
Who?
Brian. Involving a man that's had an extensive advertising campaign surrounding him in one of the local rags. And
Brian.
We have seen...
Chief.
Look, I was just talking to Duck, and he told me.
Oh,
that,
Duck
said, "Have you noticed the upsizing of font next to this particular man's name?"
That's, declaring a title.
What paper?
BT, cut to the chase. Even I'm confused with this one. What are you talking about?
Declaring, his title in the alongside his column in there. And Duck was telling me that the upsizing of font was a demand.
By the fontee.
Like a hissy fit.
By the personnel that fonticize things. And we are told that recently, that the font had gone up to a 32.
Spit it out,
next,
Brian.
Next to this person's
Brian,
name.
I normally try
that's a request of this person.
What newspaper, Brian?
Narrow it down, BT.
Don't know. I don't know who it
is. Well, the only paper I saw you reading today was the Herald Sun.
I don't know.
And not many people at the Herald Sun have titles.
Duck, it's your story.
And it must be,
you finish it.
Well, if Damo had taken his job 3 weeks ago, he probably wouldn't be able to upline.
So it's the chief football writer of the Herald Sun.
BT's story.
Duck, it's your story. It's not
just on that, this is the first time I've done this segment, and I'm really looking forward to it. When I knew I was coming in, I thought, what can I get on one of these people in here?
So, by the way, when you and Howie knew you were in here today, do you get nervous when you come up into the... By the way, this is what I copped when
really,
I first
got... Sitting really, next... Not really, Duck.
Sitting next... sitting next
you don't know Barry too well. ...is what face I'm going to put on when you hit me to laugh.
What about that? When Duck rolls out a joke and then hits everybody in the box. How funny is that?
What do you want me to do? It's not that funny. But...
He is a demander of laughter of his own.
material.
On the back of the Mark Robinson fonting upper.
He's a demander commander.
The fact that last week you did the story about Damo having the interview
which
at the Herald Sun.
We dealt with and said was absolute.
You know,
C-word?
Duck, sometimes where you might be walking down the street or you get a text from somebody and you look at it or the phone rings and you put it back in your pocket and then you start to get that weird feeling that might be able to see you. I've got a big thing today. There might have been a confrontation between Brian and Mark Robinson.
Oh. No, come on.
Was he in the next box, Brian, and did he... text you and you looked at that text and didn't know what to do and pretended that you didn't see it and you started shuffling your books and started playing with your pen and then you looked around and he was looking at you and you've gone, oh, here you are.
No.
Oh, being right. Just a real, got a bit scared.
What did the text say, more importantly?
Nothing. Nothing, and Howie, what have we got?
1-3-5-3 if you want to get yourself involved in Nathan Brown's quiz.
None of that is true.
What font or the text?
We do have a font-a-sizer.
Channel 9 have been on the phone to Brownie asking him if he could take over Who Wants to Be a Millionaire after that quiz performance.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan Brown, Mark Howard.
I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah, Brian Taylor, Damien Barrett, Wayne Carey, and stoked to be joined by this man in the box from the Collingwood Football Club, Darcy Moore. G'day, Darcy. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, mate, wonderful to see you. Just a little bit of news off the top. Jeremy Howe, a late withdrawal from the side. A bit of an issue with his calf?
Yeah, he's just had a bit of calf tightness since last week, so... Yeah, we had a running session this morning and he just didn't quite pass the test. So, yeah, should be right for next week.
Hey, Darcy, a lot of talk about how Collingwood play, and I know you'd be privy to all of that sort of talk, but you're a young man playing in a forward line that at times this year, the movement into that forward line has been spasmodic at best. How frustrating is it as a young man when you lead and then they go sideways again, you lead again, you feel like you've got your opponent beaten and then they go sideways again. Has it been a frustration for you at times? And I know you're still young and you're still learning the game, but how hard has it been?
Yeah, totally. As you say, it is definitely frustrating at times, and definitely as a young player, you have to be almost immune to frustration to just sort of focus on improvement and make sure keep getting better. But, I think we've just sort of struggled for consistency up there, which has sort of led to a bit of that. I think you used the word spasmodic. So, but I think we've also shown... when we do move it well, that we rank really well in the competition for marks inside 50. Yep. So, our best is there. It's just a matter of consistently putting it out there. And then I suppose our worst, as you say, can be a bit frustrating at times. So we just got to keep working on that. And something that we put a lot of time into. So, hopefully it's improving. But as I said, when we're at our best, we're doing it pretty well.
A lot of people talk about Collingwood's game plan, and I want to talk about more about the forward entries inside 50. I watch Collingwood probably seven times live this year, and you continually move, you continually lead, and it's like there's so many Collingwood players who just fold back inside 50 into your space, and you're trying to lead into little holes out the boundary. You mark the ball in the boundary a fair bit. Is it a game plan for everyone to try and get in there, or are they trying to empty it out for space? I mean, it does look frustrating for yourself, who you do work hard.
Yeah, I think it's sort of that sort of came about from our first sort of month, 6 weeks. It seemed like defences were collapsing really hard back on us, and it was something that we talked about a lot as a forward group, that it seems like people are saying the way to beat Collingwood is to collapse numbers really hard back inside our 50. So that was sort of a bit of a strategy to sort of match that with the defenders. But yeah, as we're seeing across the board, like defences, teams just work so hard defensively back, and it can be really hard at times as a forward to find space, but that's just the game. It's congested now, more congested than it's ever been. So
what's the feel like inside the club at the moment, Darce? What's the feeling that the players have? I mean, 5 wins for the year, and you're not quite sure how it's going to end just yet, but what's the internal feel like?
Yeah, definitely we feel like, you know, we try and keep it as normal as possible, regardless of sort of results and stuff, but there's definitely a feeling for the last sort of six, eight games now, we've really got to hit our straps and put our best foot forward and play our best footy, because it's such a tight competition, and with 5 wins, we're sort of nowhere near playing finals. So we've got to make sure we put our best foot forward and consistently just play our best footy, but it's not up to us to sort of speculate. It's up to us to sort of go out there and get the 4 points every week.
Darce, just to follow on from that question, I noticed Isaac Smith was interviewed in the paper yesterday for his 150th game, and he said it's such a serious business. He goes out there and he just tries to enjoy his footy and have a lot of fun, and he said he thinks that's pretty hard in the modern game. As a young bloke at Collingwood, a club under pressure, is it still fun to go out there and play footy? Do you still enjoy it?
I'm glad you asked that, because it is so fun. It's like we've got a core of young blokes who are, you know, between the age of 20 and 25, who are all out there playing. Like Braden Maynard's having a great year, Jordy Degoe, Brody Grundy, having Jamie Elliott back and Tom Langdon back and playing his 50th game today. So there's a group of us that, you know, we're out there sort of living our dream. Like, this is what we love to do, and it genuinely is really fun. And whilst results are disappointing at times, and it's such a tough competition, and it, you know, you really get no favours and you get nothing for free, we are just a bunch of young blokes who are just having the time of our lives out there.
Who are the old farts that need to modernise themselves a bit?
Scotty Pendlebury. Yeah. He's the first one. Yeah, he just needs to be modernised.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is he technology with it or not?
What do you mean?
Phones and computers.
He's with all that. He's just his sense of style. He's just sort of stuck back in 2006, 2005.
What about when he shaves the sides?
Yeah,
recently.
I call it the white supremacist haircut. It sort of looks... I'm not a big fan of it. There are a few boys that get around with it. Ads likes it, and so does Braden Maynard.
Talking about that sense of style question, I'm often interested myself when I see the Collingwood boys roll into training, especially on a Monday, and they come in as if they've just thrown their clothes on. They know the cameras are going to be
down
there.
Their doorstop.
Well, yeah, the doorstop. Do you spend a bit of time thinking about it, knowing the cameras are going to be there, Darce? Because you look sharp.
That's good feedback. I'm pretty happy with that.
So you do spend a bit of time thinking the cameras might be there. Today?
It fluctuates from day to day, but yeah, look, it's good to look good. As we say, look good, feel good, play good.
See, Brian? Look good.
That's what Trent Crowe used to roll with. Now, it's a feedback industry, football, no matter what, from the media. Obviously, Collingwood get a lot of feedback about how they're playing. Brian does a lot of your functions down at Collingwood. What sort of feedback would you give him
Question
for the performances
nowhere.
Of him hosting the Collingwood functions?
Look, I'd say largely pretty positive. I mean, there are always areas to improve on, but...
not overwhelmed.
What about some of the players? What about some of the players? They go, oh, Brian's here again.
Yeah, look, he's pretty consistent with his messaging. Yeah, I don't know. It's all pretty positive from mine. He loves an auction. He's pretty good at an auction.
Sponsors, past players, auction.
You love getting around Muzzy from Blue Star Logistics.
Of the players.
Hey, Darce, just to delve further into you being happy, and it is still a great thing to be doing, playing footy. In a week where Tom Boyd had his situation revealed publicly by the footy club, in a week where his coach, Luke Beveridge, has questioned some of the feedback that comes footballers' ways, do you have to, as a footballer at your age now, to distance yourself from what is readily there on your phones all the time?
I think so, yeah. I know personally I do a fair bit. So it's more just checking in with yourself about sort of how much you know, you're paying attention to the attention that other people are giving you. So I know I try and check myself in with it a fair bit and just sort of stay with it, but it's hard. I mean,
you can't not be on it, can you?
Exactly.
At your age. And you hear older people, and we're in that old demographic, saying just players should get off it, but you can't, can you? It's all you've known.
It's all we've known, exactly. Yeah. And it's how we sort of connect with the world, connect with each other, and sort of find out what's going on. So
the key in your eyes, and I know everyone's different, but the key in your eyes is to just pick and choose the moments, or to have a proper plan around access to it?
And I think just and just like we said before, enjoying playing footy and enjoying what you're doing and just being present, because at the end of the day, regardless of what the scoreboard says, to run out there on the MCG is something pretty special and something so many kids across Australia would love to do. So the fact that we're there, it's probably
and you haven't lost that love despite your 3 years at this footy club not ending the way you would have
absolutely not. I mean, the ambitious side of me obviously is a little bit disappointed with how we've gone in my first 3 years, but I'm definitely still in touch with that love for the game and love for the club.
Darcy Moore is with us from the Collingwood Football Club. What do you get away up to away from footy, Darcy? It's a pretty all-encompassing. What floats your boat?
It is. I got a few different interests. I'm studying part-time at Melbourne Uni, which is, just ticking along. It's nothing too exciting. I'm studying commerce, so just sort of ticking that off. It's nothing special. I don't know. I'm into reading. I like to read.
What are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading at the moment? I've just finished Andre Agassi's autobiography.
The best sports autobiography. The first 25 pages of that book are absolutely incredible.
It is a great book.
I was almost read it in one go. It was bloody outstanding.
And then I'm just reading. Took Harry 4 weeks.
Oh, that's real funny, Brian. Real funny. You're coming from one of the great readers. What did you read last? One of your own books, Brian?
Footy Record or
the Dory you wrote?
Sorry, Darcy, continue.
Black and white.
Excuse him.
What else? I'm interested in collect sneakers a little bit. So,
what do you mean you collect sneakers? What, old or new or both?
Nike, for
bit
sure.
Bit of both. Yeah.
What, any brand or?
Mostly Adidas, but yeah.
How many pairs you got? And
probably close to 30, 50.
So, like 40, a colour for each outfit.
Pretty much, yeah.
So do you wear them or do you put them up in the mat?
I've got about one or two that are too rare, so I don't wear them because there's only a handful of them in
You're not one of those kids that line up outside a shop and
No, don't camp out.
No, you don't do the camping?
Yeah, put a deck chair out on Collins Street and sleep there a few nights. No, I haven't done that yet.
Dust, on your tracksuit top, people out there obviously can't see given we're a radio station. Oh, wow. but you've got a picture of two magpies, 125th anniversary sort of logo, and the two magpies are looking in the opposite direction. For the buffoons in amongst us here, for Damo and Duck and Brownie and
buffoons.
Howie, What do the two buffoons? It's got a bit of buffoon about it as well.
Buffoon, you got to get it right.
Buffoon.
What do the magpies represent looking in the opposite direction?
I think so. The magpie on the left side is more classical magpie graphic, which is looking back at the past. So 125 years.
No, hang on. Darcy has just said the magpie on the left is looking at the past.
Looking for someone to swoop.
And the magpie on the right, Darcy,
is looking forward to the future.
Looking to the future.
Correct.
Oh, Ducks, you don't care, do you?
I'm glad you've raised that
You don't care, do you?
Nah, maybe they should be looking at each other. There's a disconnect between those magpies.
Damo, you've never played
anything. The past and the future. Well, there's a disconnect.
That's the magpie's midfield and their forward line right there.
Darcy, you always get a briefing from your media manager before you come into one. Were any of these questions on the briefing or not?
No,
I don't think so.
Darcy,
thanks for joining. It's very nice to have you in the box. Well, what are you reading at the moment then, Mr. Smarty Pants?
It's my water too.
Come on, what are you reading?
I'm reading over-fantasised stuff in the Herald
Well,
Sun.
I'm working my way through a book about Vietnam and then going on to another one on the table. So The Force, that's
right. It's Snowing in Bali. It was the last one I read.
Snowing in Bali. I read that one too. Not a bad read.
Few people we know in that book.
Oh, yeah. All right, down on the boundary, Nerilee Meadows, welcome to you for the first time this afternoon. Hello, Nez. How are you?
Thank you very much. Let's try and get a bit of class back into this show with Mark Harvey on the boundary for Essendon. Mark, no doubt the boys would want to put in a really good performance after, fair to say, a very shock loss last week to the Lions.
Yes, narrowly. I'm a bit concerned about the panel upstairs, though.
Why, Harv?
A lot of egos up there. Jesus. Duck, Brown, oh, jeez. Where do we want to start, you blokes?
Keep going, Mark.
Let's start with you, Harv.
Yes, let's go, BT.
Well, we were talking about fashion with young Darcy Moore. Harv's was a real fashionable mover.
Fashion icon.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about your mob at the moment, halves?
Over the last 8 weeks, I think the most we've been beaten by is about 15 points. So we've closed the gap on when we do get beaten and how much that is by. But we've had issues late in games, so we've been addressing that over the last couple of weeks, and obviously we've still got issues there.
Hey, halves, more to like than not like. Let's be honest, you played some really good footy. Unlucky to lose the game against Sydney, obviously, and was obviously in a winnable position again last week. And then you pick up the paper today, and the word soft is used about your footy club. Did you notice that? Is that something that will come up today? Do you use that anymore? Does that ever get used?
About 6 o'clock this morning, Ducko woke up to that, and it doesn't sit well with me at all. Interesting article. There's obviously a fair bit of champion data stuff in that article that reverts to us looking like we're soft. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's more how we apply ourselves as the game wears on. We've got some midfielders that we need to really probably share the load more than what we're doing to make sure that we're sustainable. I think we play a really attractive brand of football. I think we're very attacking, fast moving. Perhaps that takes its toll too as well. I don't think we're soft. You can always look at statistical data and can sometimes give you an image that is not necessarily the case. So, anyway, we'll find out a bit more today.
Mark, dealing with the manner in which the Sydney loss came about in those final 3 minutes and then also the last quarter of the game against Brisbane, just your experience and your time in football, how do you deal with those moments going into the next game, and what have you done this week to convince the players to keep at it?
I think we spent 2 days reviewing that whole aspect of our game against Sydney. That was the Monday and the Tuesday, and then you move on quickly to the following week. I don't think it has a bearing on the mentality of the players. I just think it's just another learning curve that you have to go through and not find yourself in that situation. I think John actually said that we probably should have been a little bit more attacking during that stage. It was probably, I think it was 4.5 minutes out whereby we started to put a few numbers behind the ball, and it didn't necessarily help us get it out of our back 50, and in fact contributed to Sydney getting a bit of momentum and keeping in their forward half.
Talk to me about Dyson Heppel. His form so far since he's come back this year has been okay. He hasn't been the star he was before his break. You've tried him a little bit at half back. He's been on the wing. He's been in the midfield. I mean, where is he at the moment? Because he's playing okay footy, but not the footy we expect from Dyson Heppel.
Yeah, and Brownie also, he's had the title of captaincy in dealing with that. I don't think that's an issue at all. But, I think he's... I think a lot of our mids have sort of had areas of where they've played quite well, and then for various reasons they haven't been able to sustain that in their own game, which has contributed to a number of things that have happened to us. I think Dyson still provides the quality of in close and spread that we look for. He has had a couple of minor hiccups with injury that not necessarily people would know about. And I don't think that's really helped him, but he does lead from the front. And I'll tell you what, he speaks to the players and he tells them how it is, and that's an important part of his involvement as a captain.
Hey, halves, hooker starts back, moves forward. Long term, where's he? I mean, he's been moved to suit a particular situation that you're in, but long term, where's he going to spend most of his days?
Well, there's three forwards up there, Brownie, Duck and yourself. You tell me about his forward play, how you see that.
Well, he's been good. He's got great hands, leads up the ball nicely, looks very comfortable up there, but he did the same in defence.
Yeah, look, at the moment, so in the last sort of 2 months, we've had Paddy Ambrose out and also Mitch Brown, who are key defenders that have been out injured. Therefore, Hartley's had to carry the load there. And we've certainly considered playing hooker back at stages. But we feel that our forward line, and particularly Joey Danaher, operates a lot better with him around in that aspect of our game. So that's the way we're running at the moment. Now, that will probably play out for the year, and we'll reassess that at the end of the year and where he plays from there on.
Hey, halves, given the conditions today, I've watched the Bombers the last couple of weeks, lucky enough to watch you live against Sydney up there, and the sort of game you play, I agree, whether you barrack for the Bombers or not, you just play a good brand of footy, you take the game on. But given the conditions today, will there be any tweaking of that?
Well, you know it's like, if you overpossess in these conditions, you can sort of manifest some issues in your game and errors, and therefore the opposition can capitalise. So I would like to think that particularly early, if there is, when it is wet down here now, and if there's any rain throughout the course of the game early, that we don't overpossess and we actually just get it forward and work on those principles first.
What's it like, Harves, being involved in footy all of your life? It's basically all you've done, is it not?
Oh, I've had a few variations, BT. I was selling meat 3 years ago. That was an interesting part of my life for 12 months.
What's the favourite part of the animal you like to sell?
Oh, well, Wagyu, mate. It's probably a bit above you. I don't know.
Gina Reinhardt stuff.
Yes, yes. Your type of cattle on your little farm that you've got out there.
No, oh, well, we're just stock standard, just $1,000.
How are the gum boots going, by the way?
No, they're going good.
All right.
Going good.
Okay.
Harves, appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Bombers today. Mark Harvey from the Essendon Football Club.
Harv knows a lot about you, Brian.
I know a lot about him.
Oh.
Just on the Bombers coaching panel, arguably the best coaching panel in the game.
Name them.
When you look at, well, I think there's Mark Neal, there's Harves, there's
McKenna,
there's Woosher, and there's McKenna, all been in charge of a senior team.
It's pretty good.
There's no other coaching panel that that possesses that. So it's pretty good.
Yep. It is.
The Hawks are running out onto the ground at Launceston. They take on GWS. Dame, I'll keep us up to date with any of the developments there as the game's set to kick off. Brian, obviously I'm only filling in today.
I'm going to have a rest, Harry, if that's okay.
Well, you're not quite having a rest yet. I'm filling in. You've got a lot of big names written down on your sheet. Well, I think
what's in common with these people, Harry?
Yep.
Duck. Malloy. Paul Ruse.
Ego.
Gary Lyon. Pretty right so far. Hamish McLaughlin. Caroline Wilson, Jim Brayshaw, Luke Darcy, Gil McLaughlin, Ed McGuire. What's the thing they have in common? Come on.
They all work in the footy industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've all got, well,
healthy. Got big jobs.
They all seem to go missing at various times of the year, Brian.
They are all...
Good looking?
They all involved...
Maybe go try that again, Duck.
You're good looking.
Boy, yeah.
What do you mean you're good looking?
Good looking.
Anyway, they're all involved.
You're licking.
He's been misbehaving today, Brownie, hasn't he? They're all involved in the footy industry. They've all got healthy ones. We know that. But also, you wouldn't believe it. These people who talk footy, and they are footy, they all have been on holidays in the footy season. So Caroline Wilson, who just returned today, she's just the chief football writer of the
Age. She's a six-weeker.
The Age is currently burbling underwater. It's almost sunk.
And just on Carrie, BT, she so often regularly highlighted other people in footy taking time off.
Oh, yeah. Don't bring in your negative stuff, Damo. This is going to be a...
Oh, it's a positive.
But anyway, yeah.
Not so sure how this is a positive.
Yeah.
So, Roosie, how does he just get time off? Duck, how did you get 2 weeks off to go to Bali? Don't want to answer.
I didn't get 2 weeks off. I had a week off, and it's negotiated. It's called negotiation.
Hamish disappears. Das, the hot, they just wander off everywhere. Gil's heading over to Europe.
He is.
He's the head of the AFL.
Having a break.
This is all in the middle of the footy season. Guys, the footy season lasts, what is it, 30 weeks?
Yep.
Thereabouts. There's 22 other weeks.
You're going
to
stick it out,
Brian.
They
want to go in the European summer, Brian. That's why.
On your holidays, you have 22 weeks to decide when you want to go.
Split round, you can have one of those off.
Duck, it's the middle of the footy season. All these people are footy people.
You've actually got to step up more in those split rounds, Duck, because there's less content to
And the real moral talk of the story about. Is it's about me, as usual. In 21 years, I haven't taken a day off.
Now we know the point of the story.
I had gout 1 year, and I came in and I put my leg up on the bench.
Oh, that would have been good for everyone.
And even with a very painful bout of severe gout.
Oh, you can imagine his foot
sitting up. Oh, imagine it.
Wow.
Boy. Is it all you've had, BT?
Anyway,
any other ailments we should know about?
Never.
The sickening photos of James Brayshaw's loving on Instagram.
Around
at the
Flinders Rangers.
Oh, and Flinders Rangers.
He's over there.
Out for a world.
The bright smile.
Put some pictures up of the kids.
And Roger Rashid was posting on it as well.
Mix it up at Macca's and try the all-new chicken Big Mac.
I noticed on his phone, no kids on his phone, just a... Lovey-dovey.
Lovey-dove.
Oven on. Knives at the ready. Time to roast Duck.
This is where Duck sits in the middle of the circle.
Haven't we already done this? You've been doing this all day.
Rapid ones at the Duck. I'll start. All right, Ducky, here we go. Does Luke Beveridge need to make wholesale changes next week?
No, he doesn't.
Lee Matthews has a statue here. There are many other greats have a statue here. Juddy would like to have one here. You will probably get one here. You agree?
I don't really think about it, to be honest.
No, but you'd love a statue.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Oh, I think we'd all love a statue.
There'd be nothing better in bronze than...
We would all love a statue.
As you said before, a bronzed duck.
Well, didn't O.J. Simpson have a statue of himself in his backyard? Do you remember that?
Did he?
He did.
What pose would you like to have, duck, just on that matter? What's the iconic duck pose? Is it that left foot goal from the pocket down here? Or?
Yeah, maybe, Damo.
Which haircut? Which haircut?
Oh, yeah, the mullet.
Which haircut?
Probably more so middle of the 90s rather than early 90s.
The one where it was real?
No mullets. No mullets.
Okay. Yeah.
Should the penalties for striking be increased, Duck?
Right now, I think they're right, BT, but if there was a trend, then I have no problem with it being upped.
Should the AFL introduce red cards?
No, definitely not.
Is Essendon soft?
No, they're not. I love the way, as we just spoke to Mark Harvey, I love the way the Bombers play their footy. Yes, they've been, you know, they've been poor on a couple of occasions late in games, but the majority of those games they've played the better footy.
Sit down, man. Relax.
Who of Luke Hodge, Josh Gibson and Sean Burgoyne should go on next year?
I think only one of those will go on. Obviously, I think Josh Gibson will retire. I think Hodgie will retire, and that's not saying he should. I'm saying I think he will, and I think Burgoyne will play on.
I think Jerker Jenkins, we had him on the show today, is fast becoming one of the greats of the game. Do you expect that he will surpass what you've achieved in footy? Duck.
VT.
Serious question.
You know what? You use your funny stuff earlier in the day. No. Gee, wow.
Should Brownie be given a lifetime ban from the quiz?
100% yes.
Have you ever used anyone Jake King style to retrieve money?
Oh,
careful.
No,
I haven't, Brownie. No.
Is Paddy Ruckman...
Have you been involved in retrieving?
No, I haven't.
Is Paddy Ryder the best ruckman in the game at the moment, Doug?
You know what? I haven't seen enough of Port Adelaide live. I tell you what, I don't know who the All-Australian selectors are. Well, I do know a couple of them, but... I reckon this is the toughest year, Brownie, to pick an All-Australian ruckman. I reckon there's about five or six. There hasn't been an absolute standout, but there's five or six that are, you know, around the same, and Ryder's one of them.
It might be one of the players down the bottom of the ladder, Matty Cruiser, I reckon.
He's been good.
Duck, you've got Paddy Dangerfield and Dustin Martin on that wall, and you've got one pick.
I look, you know what? Just to be different, I'm going to say Dusty.
Duck, will you undertake a... guru Indian meditation style happening, like Alan Richardson has. He went over to Tibet.
There's a lot of different stuff now, Brad. Now, I know you're different. You're sort of one of the real fashionable sort of characters in our game. And then now guys are sort of collecting sneakers.
Answer the question.
And all sorts of stuff.
Oh, boy.
No, to answer your question, no.
No, you're not a meditation operator?
No.
You ever meditated?
No.
You ever thought of meditating?
No.
Have you have you ever undertaken things to make your hair grow more?
It's called Propecia or Prosca. So the answer is yes. And does it work? Yes.
So you got it to grow again?
It does. There is medication that you can take that stops the balding process.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how vain are you?
9.82222.
Funny that comes from you, Nate, that question, because obviously you've got a long history. This is a man that declared to us he has been taking a drug for about 15 years that he had to get ASADA WADA clearance for to continue to grow
finasteride.
His hair. Finasteride. But your great concern of it is...
If you stop taking it, it falls out with interest over a three-month period. You've got to keep taking it.
When I first started... by the way, it does work for those, and I'm not being paid to say that. But it does work. It stops the falling out process.
Why would you have to say you're not being paid to say that?
And it can grow back.
That makes me think you are.
No, it can grow back.
There's no need to say that.
Hang on.
It can have a side effect, which you don't want. And
floppy.
Which it did for a short amount of time.
Is that all body hair being falling out?
No, nothing to do with hair.
It had an effect, though.
It can have a side effect.
Did you work through that moment? Affect,
and I fought through that.
How about my former teammate, Craig Ellis?
And he couldn't get it back?
Mm.
Yeah, so he had to get off.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he couldn't. Wasn't standing up. From what Nate's saying. Wow. Yeah. We might just...
How did we digress to that?
No, BT, sure.
Anyone else got any more questions? Or are we done with the roasting?
If Collingwood lose today, is that the end of Nathan Buckley?
I think the writing's on the wall, Brownie. I think the yells are stacking up far too much. I think he knows. I think you can almost hear it in his voice that he knows it's almost over.
Hey, Damo, the Ali Fayor situation this week, there's not many positives to come out of it. I think there's only one positive, that hopefully this flows on through all facets of football around the country, and blokes that have done this in the past look back and think, well, there's no way I'm going to do that again.
I think the positivity you're referring to there, Howie, is the police charges now laid against Ali Fayor. And to me, it's a really significant moment in all this messaging around the One Punch initiatives, BT. And I think it's a really overdue message that if this does cross state lines and we can get this across the whole country...
Worries me, Damo.
No, but let me just finish, BT. Why should you be able to do what Ali Fayor did on a football field?
No, you shouldn't be able to, and that's why...
So therefore it should be police charges.
No, that's why it's a life ban. We have a tribunal in our game to act on incidents like that. I think if we start, the worry for me, look, if I was there watching my son and that happened to my son, I'd want to press charges, right? I would want to, because that's the emotion involved in it. When I step away and go, okay, footy, our controlling bodies and the tribunal is one of those, if they deal with it and the penalties are harsh enough for them to have in their repertoire to hand out, then I think that's where it would stay. Otherwise, we're going to get to this very legal situation in the game where every time something happens to someone, there's going to be the threat of legal action hanging over it.
Isn't that a good message to send? Shouldn't people live with the consequences of that being the case?
But he's got a life ban. The sport through the tribunal have given him a life ban.
Yeah.
No court is going to give him a ban more severe than that.
Well, Brian, a life ban from not being able to play footy is nowhere near as severe as being sent to jail.
Has he been charged yet?
There's police charges,
Okay, so we can't talk about that particular incident, but there's no guarantee that he, you know...
No, he's got the rights to the full trial, and let's see how it plays out.
Anyway, it's a dangerous precedent for football to set to get into the legal field. Let's let our tribunals do all of the operation.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.